From KLW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents, context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
I live in Oakland.
I'm from Cleveland Heights.
West Oakland, California.
I think my landlord marketed it to me as Temescal, but it's actually Golden Gate.
Realm 50.
I actually don't live in Oakland, I live in Richmond.
Coming up, we're navigating the Delta and meeting the people who live in California's water hub.
The Delta is the most forgotten, misunderstood piece of real estate in the state of California.
And life lessons learned on the road with local musician Tao Nguyen.
I spent the majority of my 20s and my adulthood on tour in a very transient state and underdeveloped in a lot of emotional ways, if I may put it so kindly.
That's all coming up on Cross Currents. If you were to follow the water from the San Francisco Bay back to its source, you'd head east and end up in an intricate web of waterways and islands that make up the California Delta. The Delta plays an important role in the state. The Sacramento and San Joaquin rivers drain there, and with a system of dams and pumps built over the decades, it's become the center of California's water distribution system. Millions of acres of California farmland depend on the Delta, and nearly two-thirds of all Californians, including many in the Bay Area, get their water from it. It's also an important ecosystem, home to some threatened and endangered species of fish like smelt and salmon. Because so many people outside of the Delta have a stake in what happens within it, there have been decades of fights about how water there is managed. Recently, the debate has been about the Bay Delta Conservation Plan. That's Governor Brown's proposal to build two huge tunnels under the Delta to deliver water to Central and Southern California. But as Lisa Morehouse reports, amid all the debates and controversy are people who live and work in the Delta.
Welcome to the Delta. It's going to get pretty choppy because the wind's supposed to kick up as we get on in the afternoon. We'll be fighting the tide all the way across and then all the way back home. So it'll be a bouncy ride. You'll have fun.
Rick Stelsreed is the only mailman in California who delivers by boat. Every week, every day except Sunday, he pulls out from a marina on King Island in the eastern part of the Delta near Stockton. He takes his 21-foot aluminum boat around 60 miles, visiting marinas and designated docks. At most stops, he just slows his boat. He picks up and drops off mail, then flips up the red metal flag.
You don't stop if you don't have to. Mostly everybody out here that I deliver mail to, most all of them have something to do with the river, whether it be farming, whether they live out here on boats. They may be caretaking an island.
Running a marina or a sports fishing business or a restaurant. They might work in the region's abundant natural gas fields. In the summertime, there's an influx of people harvesting crops or working in packing sheds.
So my mail will change because migrant workers will come up and they'll still get the mail from Mexico or wherever they're from. I got a guy out in Mandeville Island. He's from Peru. He's a sheep herder out there.
And living in the Delta, where there are 57 islands and over 1,000 miles of waterways, just requires people to do things differently than in most of the Bay Area. That's really clear as we approach a stop where more than 30 people get their mail, even though there's no mailbox. It's a small bridge, and Stelsreed points out an attached safety cage where bridge tender Ramon Gonzalez is doing maintenance work. Gonzalez spots Stelsreed, climbs out of the cage and up the side of the bridge to fetch a bucket. Stelsreed labors to keep his boat in one place while reaching for the bucket Gonzalez lowers. It's filled with outgoing mail.
Okay, man, I'll see you tomorrow. Hasta mañana, huh?
It's choppy as we head out to a large body of water called Frank's Tract. We see Mount Diablo to the left and Antioch to the right, but barely. Stelsreed turns on his windshield wipers. He navigates through soupy fog and around dangerous obstacles in the water. This time of year, he's also got to keep an eye out for what appear to be supersized bales of hay.
That's all these duck blinds. There's 8, 10, 12 of them across Frank's Tract.
duck blinds that hunters pull their boats into for easy access to the Delta's waterfowl. In the summer, Stelsreed keeps an eye out for boaters racing or pulling water skiers. In the spring, he gets his most unusual packages. He's delivered plants, pheasants, and even swans. When he drops off mail at the home of an 82-year-old friend who lives on an island the size of a suburban house lot, I tell him the Delta reminds me of parts of the California desert where some people go to drop out of society, to get lost.
I come out here to get lost. When I moved back out here in 96, that's why I came out here, just to get lost. I divorced and went through that change and just had to get away from it all.
So why is this a good place to get lost?
For me, it was all about cleaning up. I had been on pain medication, prescription pain medication for years and years and years. And I just really, for me, I lost my family, I lost my house, I had to shut my business down, I lost everything.
He moved to the Delta and realized life can be simple.
The beavers get along with the otters get along with the muskrats, birds get along. Everybody seems to coexist really well. Why can't that be that way everywhere, you know? So I just took it upon myself to fix me.
In 2006, he started helping out an elderly friend who had the mail route. Then he took it over full time.
Nobody here to sign for it. Gotta leave a notice.
When the deliveries are done, we head back into the marina at King Island, and Stelsreed looks satisfied as he tells me,
I'm out here forever now. I'm never gonna leave. I'll never leave this place. To me, this is about as close to God as you can get.
My ride with Rick Stelsreed only showed me part of the Delta, so I head west to cover more ground and water. Just outside the town of Rio Vista, there's a farmer's market and a big red barn. This, and a planned educational center and museum, is the brainchild of Ken Scheidegger.
The Delta is the most forgotten, misunderstood piece of real estate in the state of California. It started out that way back in 1850 because it was nothing more than marshland. No one wanted to go out there.
Until people realized that swarms of Gold Rush hopefuls needed to be fed. A mostly Chinese labor force built levees, creating permanent rich farmland.
It's been divided up into a multitude of islands that are very excellent for producing a lot of crops we're dependent on. But you still can't see it.
So we get in Scheidegger's truck to rectify that a little. We cross the Sacramento River by bridge, a luxury considering his grandparents could only get to the neighboring islands by boat. Then on to Ryer and Grand Islands by car ferry. A century ago, he says, barges would transport people from island to island and riverboats would come up from the bay.
And they would bring with them food supplies or newspapers or whatever, postage stamps or whatever you needed here, because in a sense there was no other way of getting it.
Scheidegger wants people to think about how that isolation plays into the Delta's history and people, about what families had to do to develop this marshland into farms and build lives here.
We have to be careful about not developing or overcrowding this part of the world, that the old-timers here want to keep it like it was. But the other side of that coin is that a lot of the businesses that are now out here need a certain level of support.
We disembark, and Scheidegger points to the field stretching out beside us.
On this drive about 100 years ago, you would look over to these fields and you would see that they were almost totally asparagus.
It was mostly Filipino farm workers who picked, packed, and shipped the asparagus all across the country. Chinese laborers founded a Chinese-only town. Families from Portugal and Italy started farms.
My grandparents came here in the 1890s. They were from Sweden.
The roads here are on the levees, pretty much the highest point of any Delta island. While we make this bumpy ride, we look down at the water, where people fish out of boats or from the shore. We pass cornfields, pear orchards, and the increasingly popular vineyards. Scheidegger hopes Delta farmers can tap into the Bay Area's interest in local food to shore up the economy.
Defining what local means make the pear taste better. And that can influence price. That can influence the resource of an area.
Up Highway 160, we drive parallel to the Sacramento River, cross bridges, and pass little towns. Outside Walnut Grove, we drive a little levee road up to a 100-year-old restaurant, Giusti's. An old neon sign reads, "Cocktails, dinners, boat landing, hunters and fishermen's paradise."
It may not look like it from the outside, but on what goes on in the inside, it's amazing.
How are you guys?
Good, how are you?
Good.
It's just 30 miles from Sacramento, close enough for politicians to hold power lunches here.
I would venture to say that there are more major decisions made on the Delta of California in this restaurant than you'll find anywhere else.
But Scheidegger says, aside from stalwarts like Giusti's, the Delta's businesses have taken a hit. He thinks that's in part because of the so-called water wars.
The focus now is so much on water.
And not for its beauty or for its boating or fishing, but for the controversy that surrounded water here for decades, and the tension now over the state's efforts to build two tunnels under the Delta to divert water across the state.
It's not saying that we're against that. We're just saying that there's so much else here to see. It hurts some of us when we spend our lives out here. We produce quality products or recreation or farm products, and then it's like, oh, you're out there in that swampland, and all you got out there is a lot of water, and everybody's fighting over it, and yeah, this little fish is endangered, or this is terrible.
He says he and his neighbors think the Delta is one of the most beautiful parts of California.
We have to open up the doors and let people come. When people start to think about the Delta in the future, I think it's in their best interest to make a trip out, see it, look at it, touch it, feel it.
Over the next several Wednesdays, that's exactly what we're going to do, really get to know the Sacramento-San Joaquin River Delta with reporter Lisa Morehouse, who's here with me now. And Lisa, what do we have to look forward to in your series?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's been a real thrill for me to be able to go out there and learn this part of my region that I didn't know so well. And I feel like I have a lot more to learn, too, which
me
is
too.
Exciting.
Me too. I want to take a field trip next.
The first story that we're going to hear is about agriculture, and we're going to meet a farmer and a former farm worker and a labor contractor. And then after that, we're going to hear from some people who are involved in water-based recreation. And then the last...
Which is a big part of the Delta economy.
It's a big part of the Delta economy and also a big part of the culture.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to hear from some people who, for whom the levees are really important parts of their work and parts of their lives and part of the history of this place.
That's reporter Lisa Morehouse. Her series is Navigating the Delta, and we're going to hear more over the next 3 weeks. Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you.
You're listening to Cross Currents. I'm Holly Kernan. And now it's time for another installment of Bay Area Beats, where local musicians tell us the stories behind their music. Tao Nguyen grew up in Northern Virginia and started playing music at age 12. Since then, she's released 3 critically acclaimed albums and spent most of her 20s touring, including a national stint with NPR's Radiolab. It was coming back home to San Francisco and getting involved in her community that inspired her latest album, We the Common. Tao tells us a little bit more about how she's grown up through her music.
Feet Asleep is a song that I hold very dearly, and it's about my mom. Well, when my dad left when I was a kid, around 11, she was a stay-at-home mom up until that point, and then he left, and she was scrambling to survive and raise us.
Talk soft so you fall asleep. Cook your dinner, but you would not eat.
and she got a bunch of loans together and bought a laundromat randomly. It was a completely arbitrary decision. And she just said, you know, I need some source of income. So she bought a laundromat, and she worked so hard. And I grew up working in that laundromat, and I would be folding laundry and making change at the counter whenever I wasn't in school. So that song's very personal. And I remember she would watch the Travel Channel but never have a chance to travel because she never had time, you know, and she was working probably 7 in the morning to 11 at night, 7 days a week.
I left for a living that I built myself. I thought of you. I called someone else. This is how it's...
Up until this last record, I had written song. I made a living writing songs about myself, which is comical. And a total coup, you know, I really lucked out. But there's a level of ridiculousness that comes with that. And I was tired of writing songs about my emotional life and all of the mistakes and all of these ruminations. And this record was a chance to be a lot more outward looking with my songs and more about how can I be a better citizen and show up for people and show up for the people in my life. And then I had started volunteering with the California Coalition for Women Prisoners. And the people that I met in that organization and the people we go see inside changed how I was writing songs. The title track and the lead single for We the Common was it's called We the Common for Valerie Bolden.
If I bend my youth, would it come to me? Oh, love, won't you bat my eye? I miss the sweet garden man, baffle a skeleton dry.
Valerie was the first person I met on my first visit ever to a prison. She was at the Valley State Prison for Women.
Hold my county line, get down on my city floor. I will suffer no humans, they've been my habit before. Oh,
I was new to the entire experience. I'd never been inside a prison. I'd never actually talked to anyone who was incarcerated. And it was this... I just couldn't shake the conversation. We met, we had an hour, just one-on-one. And it struck me how easily we got along, and it struck me how lighthearted the conversation was, and then how it would be punctuated with these moments of poignancy. And she said, I don't want to die in here. And you know, she sentenced to life without parole, and she hadn't talked to her daughters in over a decade, and there's just so much sadness. And there's a bleakness, but then there was also... there's still vibrance and life there. It's just like this big stew of stuff that was very overwhelming and inspiring and also devastating. And I just couldn't shake that conversation. And, you know, and Valerie is... I intended the song to be inspired by her, but also I wanted this sense of collective energy. And it's also about... people taking care of one another, and so the song is about Valerie, and it is for her, but it is also about a lot of different people that I've met. The ideas that I had of living in the world can be attributed to the fact that I believe that I spent the majority of my 20s and my adulthood to this point on tour in a very transient state and underdeveloped in a lot of emotional ways, if I may put it so kindly. Other people will be more upfront about that. But I think that for me, it was showing up for people and being a part of lives of the people I love. And so I'm trying to do that more. It's funny with writing records. I was just thinking about that today, where if you're lucky enough to have people follow the music you've made from the beginning, they grow with you, they watch you grow, you have an audience for it, which is scary, but also it's pretty fascinating. And then it feels like this weird remote group therapy session.
It's too hot for habit. My patience is done with me. I want to live in towns that touch. I want to stay when my temper beats.
Tao Nguyen is the leader of the Get Down, Stay Down and is based here in San Francisco. She spoke with KALW's Martina Castro, who produced that piece. You can check out Tao and her band this Friday at the Fillmore. The show starts at 9 p.m. All of that information is at KALW.org. Just click on Cross Currents. And that's it for today's Cross Currents from KALW News. Our team includes Hanau Baba, Julie Kane, Jen Chien, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Chris Hoff, Nina Gensler-Debs, Isabel Angel, Laura Flynn, Jasmine Lopez, Charlotte Silver, Mary Reese, Stephen Short, Raisu Sussman, and Melanie Young. Today's show was engineered by Seth Samuel. Our senior producer is Martina Castro. Ben Trefney is our executive editor. And thanks to you, we are listener-supported radio. Tune into Cross Currents tomorrow at 5. We'll see what's blooming in San Francisco Park's Shakespeare Garden.
Along the fence there is the eglantine roses.
What's an eglantine rose?
Oh, I just found out what it is. It's a great rose. It's an old tea rose, so it spreads, it puts out a very nice flower, but then you just get this brilliant rose hip behind it.
Flower power tomorrow on Cross Currents at 5. And we'll leave you with another edition of my mixtape, where people share songs that mean something special to them. Take it away.
My name is Tao Nguyen. My song is You Really Got a Hold on Me by Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. It's the first time I fell in love with music.
I don't like you, but
the first example of the juxtaposition of a really happy, upbeat melody with darker, sad material, which apparently has become my life's mission.